Good morning. For those of you visiting today, my name is Andrea Bolt. I'm a student at Calvin Seminary, and this is my third time being with West End Church this summer, and so I'm grateful for your hospitality. And I'm sure that it's easy for you, Brian, to say, well, because we don't have a pastor right now, I need to do baptism and profession of faith. But I think it was pretty evident to all of us today that it was in God's good plan that he fully intended for you to be the person doing all of this today, just with your softened heart and the way that you know the family. So I'm just grateful for his leading of the service in that way. What a beautiful combination we get to witness today, baptism and profession of faith. In baptism, God grabs on to us, and in profession of faith, we grab back. In baptism, God makes promises to us, and in profession of faith, we make promises back. In baptism, God says, "You are mine," and in profession of faith, we say, "Yes." We receive that in faith, and God, you are mine also. So it's a rich day today to see these two affirmations side by side. So in light of both baptism and the profession of faith, and even just the life of your church right now, I decided to take a look at the very end of Ephesians today, chapter 6. And Ephesians is an interesting book. It's hard to take a text out of it and preach on it alone. It's actually meant to be read in full, but we are already on Guatemala time today. So we will just focus on Ephesians 6. But the book is set up in such a way that Paul knows that he can't tell the people to stand firm in chapter 6 until they get some gospel legs under them. So the first half of the book of Ephesians is actually gospel explanation. You were dead, but you've been made alive in Christ. You were slaves to sin, but now you've been adopted and you're children of God. And then the second half of the book of Ephesians, after that gospel explanation, we get the gospel application, where we strengthen those gospel legs. We're given instructions for Christian living, and we walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received. But these new legs of ours make us a threat to the powers of darkness. Paul knows that. And so he ends the book of Ephesians with an instruction: stand firm and put on the full armor of God. When Brooke stands here and does public profession of faith, she is putting the powers of darkness on notice that she belongs to the light. And when Madeline's family presents her for baptism, God is saying, "You are mine. I'm putting my name on you." God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those are fighting words in the spiritual realms. And when a church like yours, who has been without a pastor for as long as you've been without a pastor, and yet you do not give up meeting together, and you remain vibrant, and you're adding new members, the enemy takes notice of that. What's with these people? And when your young people break out of the vortex of self-centeredness that is so prevalent in our young culture out there, and they give up part of their summer vacation to serve others in the name of Christ, the enemy rages against that. And so we get our instruction today from Paul. His message is for all of us: stand firm and put on the full armor of God. So our text is from Ephesians chapter 6, and we will read from verse 10 through verse 17. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. God, what we don't know that you want us to know, teach us today. And what we don't have that you want us to have, please give us today. And what we aren't that you want us to be, please make us today. Amen. At the very beginning of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, a senior devil named Screwtape is writing to his nephew, a junior devil named Wormwood. He's mentoring him in the tactics used by the powers of darkness for going after believers. And Screwtape writes to him, "It is essential to keep your subject ignorant of your own existence. Our policy is to conceal ourselves." He's pointing out to Wormwood that going unnoticed is to the advantage of the powers of darkness. Keep them in the dark about who we are and what we do. But Paul in Ephesians 6, he's not having that. He won't have it. He wants us as believers to be alert and aware and prepared. He wants us to be ready. So he brings the often unseen enemy out into the open. He writes, "Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and principalities and evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." Now, for those of you who have spent some time in other parts of the world, spiritual warfare is probably not a very new topic for you. It's simply a way that people perceive their reality in a lot of places. But if you've grown up like me, then talking about dark evil forces and spiritual warfare can seem a little bit out there, seems a little bit charismatic. We're not always quite so sure what to do with that. But the Bible is very clear. There is an enemy, the devil, and he has helpers. They are hostile to God, they are hostile to you, and they oppose everything that the kingdom of Christ is all about: love and justice and peace and reconciliation. So Paul wants us to be aware that even though we think the evil we encounter in this life is flesh and blood, he wants us to know there's more to it than that. They're participating in an unseen realm where there is an enemy who's raging against God and raging against us. Now, if we underestimate our enemy, which many of us are apt to do, then we won't think the armor of God is very important. We won't really think we need that armor, and so we will be susceptible to attack because we won't be prepared. On the other hand, if we overestimate this enemy, then we are giving him way too much credit, and we show a lack of confidence in the God who's already defeated this enemy on our behalf. So Paul is not trying to spook us or scare us. Paul wants us to be prepared believers. Put on the full armor of God. Now, this is not your armor, it's God's armor. You can't forge the protection you need on the anvil of good deeds in the fires of your own merit. It's God's armor, and he graciously gives it to us because he knows the tactics of our enemy. If you think about when Jesus was in the wilderness, and he's being tempted by Satan, and he's been fasting for 40 days. Satan says to him, "If you are the Son of God, if, turn these stones into bread." So he goes after his identity in God, and he goes after his current area of weakness, which was hunger. So this shows us that our enemy wants to go after your identity in God, your identity as a child of God, your identity as loved by God. He wants to shake that up, and he also knows what your weaknesses are. So we have to remember that God is giving us armor that is very particular for this kind of enemy. But we also see that Jesus didn't get knocked out by that 1-2 punch. Right before going into the wilderness, Jesus was baptized. And a voice from heaven came down and said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So his strong identity in God, his identity as a son of God, was part of his protection against the enemy. And the same is true for us. Our identity as a child of God is the first layer of protection, even before the armor. When we are baptized, God puts his name on you, just like little Madeline today. He puts his name on you, and that combined with the armor of God at the end of Ephesians 6, it's like layers of protection against our enemy. Now, not every single bad thing that happens to you is because of spiritual warfare. We're actually pretty good at making a mess of things all by ourselves, without any help from the evil one. Because we are broken, hurting people, living in a broken, hurting world, and we break and hurt other people. Charles Spurgeon wrote that the flaming arrows of the evil one wouldn't cause quite so much damage if our natures weren't already so full of fuel. And there's some truth to that. So the powers of darkness might not directly cause every bad thing that's going on in your life. However, the devil loves to use trouble as the doorway into your life. The Bible uses the word foothold. He loves to use trouble that you encounter as a foothold in your life. So if you watch a really competitive match of tug of war, you will notice that the big, strong people at the back of each line, they're not actually very concerned about their hand position on the rope. They're trying to get their feet set in the ground. They know that the more of a foothold they have, the more leverage and the more strength they will have to yank the other side off their feet. So the powers of darkness might not have been the ones who caused your illness or your parents' divorce or your job loss or your depression. They might not be the one behind the bully at school. However, they do want to use that trouble as a foothold, as a leverage point to yank you off your feet in your life with Christ. They want to yank you off your feet with feelings of despair or anxiety or resentment or anger or shame. They want to yank you off your feet. But Paul does not want us to get pulled off our feet. Paul wants us to stand firm, because he knows that that trouble is coming. That's why he's telling this church, stand firm and put on the full armor. Now, our enemy specializes in D words. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer.